Hey, North of Shy listeners, Eric Schwinger here with a couple quick announcements for any Baird & Warner agents who might be out there listening. First, Larry Kendall himself is coming to Baird & Warner on Monday, September 11th to deliver a talk on navigating a shifting market. I would encourage everyone to attend this event to hear from Larry himself about what he thinks agents should be doing in today's challenging marketplace. Secondly, from December 4th through December 7th, we've got our next ninja installation at Baird & Warner. Michael Fanning and Doug Simcock, two of our favorite ninja installation trainers, will be here to deliver this installation for our agents. So any Baird & Warner agents out there listening, if you haven't yet registered for one or both of these events, we'd encourage you to do so through your local office. If you're listening to this and you're not a Baird & Warner agent, shoot us an email at northofshy@bairdwarner.com and we'll see what we can do about getting you in on one or both of these events. Without further ado, I now present to you this episode of North of Shy. Welcome back to North of Shy, the Baird & Warner North Shore podcast. I'm your host, Eric Schwinger, and I'm sitting here with Anthony Marabian.
Good morning.
Ian Robinson.
Hello, everyone.
Dina Listener.
Hello.
And Catherine Leonard.
Hi there.
The whole North of Shy crew here with you today. So one thing we wanted to touch on with this episode today is some of the struggles that buyers are experiencing in today's market, right? We all know it's not a new phenomenon that pretty much all markets, particularly here in Chicagoland, are struggling with low inventory. So that's been a challenge for buyers. And interest rates don't seem to be coming back down the way a lot of people expected them to this year. They're persistently and stubbornly high. I don't know exactly what the rate is today, but it's above 6%. It might even be above
7.25%, I believe.
Seven and a quarter. Okay, thanks, Anthony. So there's some challenges out there for buyers. So I want to hear from you guys as managing brokers. What are you doing to help your agents, either coach buyers or whatever it is that they need to do to keep their buyers engaged in these tough times? So why don't we start with you, Anthony?
Well, I'm asking them to be very, very patient and not give up, because there's a lack of inventory, which is the biggest problem. And then when you do find something, you're multiple offers. So there's a good chance that unfortunately the buyer will not get the house. So just staying in contact with them.
Yeah. Patience is key right now, right? I mean, we all want to do an efficient and effective home search, but you know, when you've got
two choices.
Right. And multiple buyers lining up for those choices, you know, failure is something that we all have to get used to and understand that that is part of the process. And we're not going to win every multiple offer situation, right? So when you do experience that, you've got to kind of reset, be patient, and, you know, not lose heart, right?
Right.
Yesterday in the Tom Ferry coaching that we were lucky enough to be part of, there was a phrase called be the knowledge broker. And I'm grabbing onto that big time. Be the knowledge broker. So when you have a buyer who's frustrated, probably at you, because that's what we're there for, to be that buffer and be their advocate, supply them with knowledge. Arm yourself with knowledge. And I can give you an example of a top agent in my office in particular had clients who lost 9 times. They got the 10th house. But nice. Long about number 5, they were angry.
Yeah.
And she worked so hard in supplying them with information. She called every listing agent of the homes they did not get and asked, you know, share whatever you're willing to, whatever you're allowed to share with me. She studied every single day, every single price, you know, list to price, list to sale price ratio, and shared it with them. She became the knowledge broker, and she, rather than be repelled by their anger, which can be uncomfortable, she leaned into it and just gave more knowledge, more information, and they hung with her and got their 10th house. To me, that's a case study in what to do.
Absolutely. And really, this whole process needs to start by having a good buyer presentation, which hopefully, Eric, a little bit later, maybe you can talk about in the training department, what you guys are doing to help our Baird & Warner agents with that. But at that presentation, setting clear expectations on what's going on in the market and what they're likely going to have to do
That's true,
in yeah. order to buy. when I'm out in the marketplace on brokers tours or just talking to agents in general, a lot of times I say, oh, my clients are so frustrated they can't get a house. And I will talk a little bit, dig deeper, you know, well, what kind of offers are they making? Oh, they're making good offers. You know, they made within 5% of asking and stuff like that. Like, well, you know, in this market, if it's priced right, you know, you have to be actually higher than asking in most cases. And the problem is that the people may be ready to buy. They may be willing to buy, but maybe they're not able to pay up to that amount. Maybe they're looking at houses that are, say, maxing out at $500,000, but really they are pre-approved that they can get a mortgage on a property up to $475,000 or something like that. So you have to really look at what does ready, willing, and able mean in the current market conditions, and you need to address that with them at that buyer presentation. And the other thing that I'm seeing right now is there's a lot of people and a lot of agents that are showing houses without getting the pre-approval done, a true pre-approval where they're actually pulling credit, where they're actually verifying employment and income and stuff. Because if they start looking at things that are too high, they're always going to want to buy the things that are too high, and they're just going to be making lower offers. So that all needs to be addressed initially before you even start showing them houses.
And worth adding on to that is that, you know, I know, especially when you're a newer agent, sometimes it's harder to explain to your clients that coming in with a low offer, even within 5%, is not a good, in this market, is not a good enough offer. But you have to understand that the risk in not being clear with them about that is that they're going to continue to spin their wheels. First of all, you're going to end up having to write multiple offers, which if you're new, I suppose it's good experience. But at the same time, what's happening each time they get rejected is that while they may say, I understand my offer probably won't be accepted, the truth is they're going to get frustrated with you as the agent. So you want to make sure that you're very, very clear about the work that's going in on putting this contract together, and that, you know, make sure that you reiterate, don't just say it once, reiterate that coming in at $15,000 under asking, $20,000 under asking on a new listing is probably not going to go anywhere.
And also back up what you're saying with the facts. Use InfoSpark. Yes. Show the chart. Show them the chart. Here's the list to sale price ratio. Not me saying it. Here it is. Yep. It's 101% for the type of house you're looking at. If you are interested in offering 95, happy to write the offer, but here's what's happening.
Right. And the more that you have in writing that they can go back and look at is going to be better for you as the agent. So,
and going back to what Ian said, you know, maybe they need to look at that price point that they're most comfortable in.
Absolutely. Which is a hard thing to do when you know that you're qualified, let's say up to 500,000, and you want to purchase a house at 500,000. There's a very big difference between 500 and say 400,000.
Absolutely.
So that's a hard discussion to have as well with your buyer. But I think it's all about having that initial discussion and getting their priorities in order.
Yeah. And I encourage agents in my office to not only do a good initial presentation, but you need to communicate, really over communicate with them, because the National Association of Realtors says that the number one complaint that people have, and this is every year going back as long as I can remember them doing the survey, is that there's not enough communication from the agent. There is never a managing broker that's going to get a call from a client saying, tell the agent to stop contacting me so much. I hear from them too much. Right? There is never an active client that's going to do that. So when there's nothing going on, when there's no inventory, or when they just lost a multiple offer the other day, you may want to stick your head in the sand and kind of hide and ignore them a little bit and hope something comes on for them. That's exactly the opposite of what you need to do, kind of going along with what Catherine said. So if there's something bad that's happening or nothing happening, they still need to hear from you. So I encourage you to create kind of a client follow-up plan that makes sure that weekly every single buyer, even if there's nothing out there for them, is getting a phone call from you, talking about the market, talking about what's going on, making sure you're up to date, and that they're getting emailed market reports from you on a weekly basis. Don't let them just sit and stew. Make sure they're hearing from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think about the three E's, right? So education, expectations, and empathy, right? Empathy goes a long way, right? I mean, you got to kind of feel for your clients. Mm-hmm. If they're writing offers and they're not being successful, You've got to kind of feel that pain with them. And then they know that you are really committed to them, right? So empathy is a really big part of this business in this type of environment. And then also, you know, for agents out there who are buyer heavy and are struggling in these areas right now because most of their clients are buyers, hang in there, right? I mean, take heart in knowing that this is a cyclical business, right? The pendulum will swing back at some point. There were times in not too distant memory where buyers had the upper hand, right? We had a lot of inventory on the market and buyers had their choice. And now we're kind of on the opposite end of that spectrum, but things will come back. So for agents out there who might be feeling frustrated themselves or who are challenged by, you know, the market conditions out there, hang in there. Educate your clients, set clear expectations, empathize with them, and eventually things will happen, right? Persistence is key.
I'd like to go back to the empathy thing because I think that this is, we are not in an industry that's probably famous for that, or at least our image is not. Mm-hmm. And I'm big on stories, in case you haven't figured that out yet. And a story that I can recall when I sold was the buyers being ashamed and embarrassed that they didn't have X amount of money for earnest money. Mm-hmm. And I caution everyone, don't assume anything about, you know, this is the North Shore, we think money is free flowing. Not for everyone. So be kind, be empathetic, don't assume about your buyer's, you know, solvency, and, you know, go gently into that conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd like to return, I mentioned earlier that Eric, you're working on this new buyer training that's going to be rolling out here at Baird & Warner soon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So as I'm sure most of the listeners out there know, there are some winds of change sweeping through buyer representation and buyer agency. And there could be some changes coming to buyer compensation in the real estate industry. We don't know yet. But one of the big projects that I've been working on for a couple of months now is a Baird & Warner Certified Buyer Specialist course. And this course is going to speak to how to effectively work with buyers, treating buyers more like sellers in that, you know, you've got to set a time aside to have a legitimate formal consultation with them, just like you would with a seller, where you sign a listing agreement, right? Signing a buyer representation agreement with your buyers, understanding exactly what that means, and setting all of these, doing all of these things we're talking about now, setting expectations, providing context for, you know, hey, here's what's going on in the market, educating your buyers, being the knowledge broker, doing all of that stuff in kind of a systemized process so that when you do work with buyers, they kind of are well-educated, they know what to expect. And then also the course will focus on once you have that buyer business and you're out there searching, showing, and writing offers, how do you do that effectively and efficiently to minimize risk for your buyers and maximize the value that they can get out of the home that they end up buying. So that is coming soon. September 20th and 27th is the first offering of that course. 20th will be part one and the 27th will be part two. For any Baird & Warner agents listening out there, if you haven't heard of this yet, feel free to speak with your managing broker and more information is coming as it gets a little bit closer.
And Eric, tell us how much this costs for the Baird & Warner agents to take this class.
This costs absolutely nothing. Woo-hoo! It's all part of our approach here at Baird & Warner to provide our agents with the most the best possible education and training out there so that they can go out there and serve their clients well.
And Eric, we have to thank you for crafting this course. We are elevating our profession because of it. So well done. Bravo.
Thanks. Well, don't thank me yet because we don't know how it's going to... No, just kidding. I mean, it's going to be great.
It's got your name written on it. I'm sure it's going to be terrific.
Absolutely.
All right. So do we have any other little tidbits or, you know, kind of words of encouragement that we can share with our audience here about, you know, understanding that it's tough out there for buyers, but...
I love what Catherine said about empathy, you know, and we need to have empathy with our clients, but we also need to be careful that we don't tip into taking on their own emotions.
Right.
When we're projecting it out to the other agents in our offers. Too much if the buyers are angry and they're frustrated because they're losing out or something is going on that they're not happy with, the agent tends to take on that kind of personality trait that's happening right now from the buyer, and they project it to their side and it actually gets in the way of doing the transaction. Transactionally, we need to be cold, cool, you know, professional advisors, counselors, and negotiators for them. As far as interpersonal with those clients, whether it's a buyer or seller, we absolutely need to feel where they're coming from. We just have to kind of shut that part down when we're dealing with the other side so that we can effectively work for the client.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Thanks for saying that.
But when you are dealing with your clients, you want to make sure that you are appropriately expressing emotion, that you understand their frustration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go forth unafraid. That's what we have to say to our agents.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Great. Well, hopefully you guys take a little something away from this, and it's been a useful exercise here, this quick discussion today. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on North of Shy.